Hello, and welcome to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. This week, we welcomed David Schenk and Eliana Tejedor. David is a CMC member. 5 years ago, he volunteered with Mennonite Mission Network to serve the refugee community in Quito, Ecuador. While there, he met and married Eliana. Their family recently returned to Harrisonburg. David and Eliana shared stories of their experiences with our congregation on Sunday, October 4th.
Morning.
Buenos dias.
It's wonderful to be here with you this morning in this church where I grew up. First of all, we want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to share a slice of our experiences in Ecuador. And especially thank you for your support and your prayers that made my and our time in Ecuador possible. And I do want to recognize the MST, who was our ministry support team while in Ecuador, Jason and Dan and Tina Beachy, and Joe Yoder. I'd written Jose Yoder. Whoops. Sue Swartz and my parents, and Les Helmuth, who's not part of this congregation. But it's kind of cold, and I'm kind of nervous. Can we just give all of you a round of applause and the MST a round of applause? Thank you so much for your support and your prayers. We really appreciate it. Second, we want to bring you special greetings from our and your Ecuadorian and Colombian and Congolese and Chilean and sometimes Syrian and sometimes Quechua and sometimes Nigerian and Haitian and Cuban brothers and sisters who at some point or who currently form part of Quito Mennonite Church, and together create a microcosm of the beautiful and diverse body, face of the body of Christ around the world. As you probably know, I left for Ecuador, as Jason said, with MMN about 5 years ago to work with the local Mennonite congregation in Quito and a ministry they have for refugees, primarily from Colombia, but as I mentioned, from different places around the world, who are fleeing violence and displacement. And along the way, on my journey, I recruited, or maybe they recruited me, or who knows what happened, but I have two new workers, parts of our family, a wonderful new family, Eliana and Khaled, who have been wonderful companions in ministry and who are my wonderful new family. We want to share with you this morning a little bit about how Quito Mennonite is being and doing church amidst the context of a constant influx of refugees who are largely discriminated against, marginalized, and excluded in many aspects of Ecuadorian society. So we want to start off with a brief story, part one of story, of our good friends and good friends of Quito Mennonite Church, Gerardo and Liliana. They ended up at Quito Mennonite Church after having received death threats and having suffered the impact of an explosion very near their home. And they fled to Ecuador, to a coastal town, and basically overnight they went from having Gerardo's handyman business, Liliana having her restaurant, them having a home, them having a truck, to rummaging through trash in Ecuadorian coastal towns, trying to find food for themselves. And their situation was desperate. They both have a lot of health problems, and because of their health problems, they were forced to come to the capital city, Quito, where we were living, and look for help for their health problems in the local hospitals in Quito, where there was better medical assistance than in the small towns where they first ended up. And in Quito, it was amazing. They're extremely resilient, and with this cart that you can see in the picture, they would walk through the streets of Quito in the late evening and through the night, and they would recycle for a living, and they would pick up anything they could find that had any value that they could accumulate in a small room where they were living, and once they had enough, they would sell it, and this is how they were sort of making a living. And they came to the Refugee Project, and I had the privilege of sitting down and talking with them, and we did a home visit. We visited the little room where they were living, and where their room was just full of recycled materials, and it was very evident that they had a lot of material needs. And so we helped them with some money for rent, and we helped them with some food over the months, and helped them with some money for medical expenses so that they could alleviate some of their need. This is just an introduction to Gerardo and Liliana's story, and I'll come back to it in a second. But their story is a common one among members and attendees at Quito Mennonite Church. The church's conscious decision to open its doors to refugees who many times have no other place to belong means that it attracts a diverse group of people to the church with a wide variety of very urgent needs and daily struggles to survive. And this has presented many challenges for Quito Mennonite over the years, and to a certain extent has come at a cost for Quito Mennonite Church. The response of some members has been to leave the church due to fear and mistrust and discomfort in worshiping under the same roof with the hungry, with the stranger, with the undocumented, with the nearly homeless, with the victim, and sometimes even the victimizer. However, the church's conscious decision to work with the vulnerable and with the marginalized has shaped the church's very identity and molded the convictions that the church holds very close to its core. That the gospel has no meaning if we don't live it, and that the good news of the gospel is something real and tangible and accessible to those who most need some good news in their lives.
Okay. Bueno, voy a hablar en español y David va a traducir. Y pues a través de nuestro trabajo con la iglesia, a través del trabajo de la iglesia con las familias refugiadas, nos hemos dado cuenta que debido a las situaciones traumáticas que han vivido las familias, ¿sí?
Through the work of the church with refugee families, we've realized that due to the traumatic situations that families live through,
los niños también tienen una serie de necesidades psicológicas, emocionales y obviamente físicas.
Children also have a series of psychological, emotional, social, and physical needs.
Y pues yo tuve la oportunidad de trabajar en la escuela dominical, deberes dirigidos, que es un programa después de la escuela durante la semana, y los talleres de EduPaz, que hace la iglesia una vez al mes.
So I had the opportunity to work with Sunday school ministries and an after school program, and supported the peace education workshops that the church does once a month for children in the neighborhood and children of the church and children of refugee families.
Sí, niños de la iglesia, del barrio y del proyecto de refugiados. Y pues a través de estos espacios la iglesia intenta que los niños aprendan a expresarse y buscar formas de superar su desplazamiento.
And through these spaces, the church tries to give spaces to children where they can learn to express themselves and find ways to overcome their displacement.
Pérdida y duelo, porque pues obviamente muchos han dejado a sus abuelos, abuelas, amigos de toda su vida, su escuela.
And to overcome their loss and their pain, because many have lost grandparents, have lost friends, lost their school.
Y pues esto no es un trabajo fácil para la iglesia y para nosotros que formamos la iglesia.
This is not an easy task for the church and for those that work with the church.
Yes. Especialmente porque las familias están de paso. Ellos no saben, ni nosotros tampoco, cuánto tiempo van a estar ahí.
Especially because the families are just passing through many times. They don't know how long they're going to be among the church, and we don't either.
Y pues todo esto genera una inestabilidad también en las familias y obviamente en los niños.
And this generates an instability in the families and especially in the children.
Podemos contar mucho de muchas cosas que hemos vivido, pero hemos elegido historias que dan esperanza.
We could tell a lot of stories about a lot of families and a lot of people, but we've also chosen stories that also generate hope.
Como por ejemplo, una familia con dos niños.
There was a family with two children.
Ellos todavía continúan en la iglesia.
They're still at the church today.
Y recuerdo el primer día que la primera escuela dominical con estos dos niños.
And I remember the first day that I had a Sunday school with these two children.
El niño mayor, Jordi, él fue el único testigo del asesinato de su mamá.
And the oldest child, he was the only witness to the assassination of his mother.
Y una de sus primeras palabras en la escuela dominical y en muchas escuelas dominicales siguientes era contar lo que había pasado.
And in Sunday school, that day and many weeks after that, he would tell this story openly with the other children around.
Y yo, pues, era la maestra y tenía que tratar de mantener un ambiente sano para los niños y también para él.
And as a Sunday school teacher, I had to try to maintain a healthy environment for him and for the other children.
Y hablé un poco con su abuela, que es como su mamá ahora.
And I spoke some with his grandmother, who's like his mom now.
Y me di cuenta que son niños que no tenían actividades sanas durante su semana.
And I realized that they're children that don't have healthy activities during the week.
Pasaban toda la semana encerrados en dos cuartos muy pequeños donde compartían con sus abuelos.
They would spend their entire weeks basically cooped up in two little rooms where they lived with their grandparents.
Y mientras los abuelos salían a vender pan y buñuelos, que es una comida de Colombia, los niños pasaban en estos cuartos solos.
And while their grandparents went out to the streets to sell bread in the streets of Quito, the children would stay behind in the rooms.
Entonces, sus abuelos tenían miedo de que ellos salieran solos a la calle. Los niños pasaban encerrados, no tenían espacios para jugar, no salían al parque solos, no compartían con sus vecinos, tenían un miedo. Y además tampoco tenían una escuela ni una comunidad.
And so their grandparents were afraid that they would go out into the streets, and so while they were working, the children would stay behind, and they had no activities to learn and to grow as children, and they were not attending school either.
Su comportamiento en la iglesia era agresivo y violento, y él sacaba su miedo lastimando a los otros más pequeños que él.
And their behavior in the church was aggressive and violent, and they would act out violently against other children.
Y también con su hermano, el menor.
And with his younger brother, especially the older brother was violent and aggressive.
Sin embargo, creo que la iglesia justamente opta por trabajar con niños que viven situaciones similares, a pesar de los retos que esto implica.
However, the church opts to work with these children who are living through difficult situations despite the challenges that come along with this.
Y parte de ayudarles es brindarles una comunidad, un espacio seguro.
And part of helping them is to offer them a space of community, a safe space.
Y que ellos se sientan parte de nuestra familia de fe.
So that they can feel like a part of our family of faith.
Que nosotros los vamos a amar, a guiar y respetar.
And that they feel that we are going to respect them and love them and guide them.
Y con el paso del tiempo, Jordi no ha vuelto a contar su historia, y no porque no sea algo importante para él.
And as time has passed, Jordi, the older brother, has not continued to repeat the story in front of the other children at Sunday school.
Porque él sabe que ese espacio es seguro para él, que nosotros lo queremos como él es, que tiene una seguridad en nosotros.
Because he has security in us and he feels safe in the space with us.
Y lo tomamos en cuenta.
And we include him.
Y ya juegan fútbol sin que haya complicaciones.
And now they play soccer outside of the church without there being complications or fights or scuffles.
Aprendió a dar lindos abrazos.
And he's learned to give very good hugs.
Y sé que por parte de su abuela que están, yo creo que ya entrarían a, su a la escuela, pero estaban en planes de entrar a la escuela.
And they had plans también to finally start studying in school.
Y continúan en la iglesia. Entonces ha sido una familia que hemos visto cómo ha ido creciendo.
And it's
cómo
a family that continues in the church, and a family that we've seen grow, and their lives have grown in the church.
Y pues nosotros hemos aprendido también a cómo guiar y enseñar a estos niños a través de nuestro ejemplo, que Dios está con ellos.
And we've learned how to guide and teach these children through our example, and the example of them knowing that God is with them.
Y que Dios es un Dios bueno, que ama a todos y a todas.
And that God is a good God that loves everyone.
Y yo, como maestra,
and as a Sunday school teacher,
he aprendido que cada ser humano tiene un mundo de experiencias y una forma de vida única.
I've learned that each human being has a world of experiences and a unique form.
Y también una forma única de expresar sus necesidades.
A unique form of expressing one's needs.
Y pues creo que todos lo saben, pero no existe un patrón que sirva para solucionar los problemas.
I think you all know this, but there's not just one pattern that it works to solve everybody's problems.
Ni las necesidades que todos y todas tenemos.
Or the needs that everybody has.
A mí me sirvió conocer un poco más a Jordi y a su familia.
And it was helpful for me to get to know Jordi and his family and their situation.
Y ser más creativa para poder ayudarle y expresar de mejor manera sus traumas y necesidades.
And to be creative in helping them express and overcome their traumas.
Y ahora estando aquí, un poco lejos de Jordi.
And now being here a little bit farther away from Jordi and his family.
Sigo pensando que vivimos en el mismo mundo.
I continue to think that we live in the same world.
Pisando una misma tierra que da comida.
Living on the same earth that gives food.
Y creado por el mismo Dios.
Created by the same God.
Bajo la misma luna.
Under the same moon.
Una luna que para mí da tranquilidad y seguridad.
A moon that for me gives tranquility and security.
Y bajo ese mismo sol.
And under the same sun.
Ese sol que brilla y acompaña a todos los seres de la tierra.
A sun that's bright and accompanies all human or beings on the earth.
Sin ver si eres pequeño o grande.
Without looking at whether you're little or you're big.
Y pienso que Dios nos invita a ser esa luna tranquila y segura.
And I think God invites us to be like that moon that is tranquil and it's safe.
Y hacer ese sol que brilla, da alegría y acompaña a todos y a todas.
And to be like the sun that's bright and accompanies and gives happiness to everyone.
Sin importar quiénes somos ni de dónde somos.
Without taking into account who we are or where we come from. I don't want to go too much over our time. But as Eliana mentioned, the work of Quito Mennonite Church with refugees goes much deeper than responding to a call to alleviate material suffering. And I think the message of Jesus goes much deeper as well. We are called to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to give water to those who are thirsty, as we heard in Matthew. But many of our brothers and sisters in Quito suffered an entire loss of identity, of their routine, of their social networks, of their family, of their friends, of their profession, of their purpose in life. And the church must respond to these needs as well. It can be quite simple to observe people's material needs, that they have no belongings, that they have nowhere to sleep, that they have nothing to eat, that they have few clothes on their back. But it's sometimes not as simple to identify people's spiritual needs, their need for a connection with a higher power, their need for an explanation amidst the chaos and the pain and uncertainty of their situations, and people's social needs, a need to belong, a need to be someone, a need to be known in a community, and their emotional needs, a need to be listened to, and a need for spaces to express themselves openly and safely. And paying attention to all of these needs as a community of faith, Quito Mennonite Church has become a healing space for both Colombians and Ecuadorians and people of other nationalities that have come through the doors. And one of the only spaces that we've witnessed in Quito where Ecuadorians and Colombians come together on a regular basis and they form positive relationships and they break down negative stereotypes and barriers that in the general society are built up and divide the two populations. And so, Gerardo and Liliana, their story continues and they became regular and faithful attendees at Quito Mennonite Church, and people deeply cared about them. And despite their minuscule earnings recycling materials around the city, they would faithfully set aside 25 cents so that each of them could get on the bus and cross the city and come to church every Sunday and during the week. And they would, as we would be coming to church riding our bicycles, They were getting off the bus with their canes and walking despite their medical issues, and they would be arriving at the doors before anyone else, offering to help set things up, offering to give back to the church. And at church, Liliana found listening ears, and she found people that would sit beside her and listen to her and talk about her illnesses and her experiences at the doctor and what had happened to her that week. And Gerardo found a place to talk, to socialize, to make friends, to tell jokes. He's a funny guy. But they didn't just find a place where they could participate passively in a community and where others could serve them. They found also a community that was receptive to receiving their service and their gifts. And I think this was crucial in allowing them to feel useful and to rebuild their identities. Gerardo, every Sunday morning, would grab the maracas and he would play along with the music, and he had salsa music running through his veins. And despite the fact that the song was slow and quiet and relaxed, there he was playing his maracas, and we didn't care because he was playing his music and he was expressing himself, and this was healing for him. And Gerardo and Liliana, seems as though they would be out recycling during the week, and they would be thinking of the church, and they would get to the church on Sunday mornings, and the candle holder that is on Quito Mennonite's table like this is from Gerardo and Liliana. They found it in the trash and they brought it to church and they gave it to the church. And that was their gift to the church, and they brought books and they brought maps and stuff that they would find in the trash, and they were giving, and this was their form of serving the church. And Gerardo, who's a handyman, would be the first person that the church would call when the vacuum would break down or when the stove would break down, and there he was fixing the stove and the vacuum, and the church was able to pay him through these experiences, and he felt useful and the church felt good, and his nice experiences. And it was their way of serving and of giving back and being active members and really belonging in a body, in a church body, and their way of finding meaning amidst the chaos of their battered situations and their lives that were in pieces sometimes. And when they would go to the office of the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees and they would ask them, "Who has helped you in Quito? What organizations have you received help from?" they would say, "Quito Mennonite Church." Because nowhere else were people willing to take the time to visit them in their small room full of recycled stuff and to sit with them and to care about them and spend time with them. And that was more important to them than any material help that they received. And I'll end with this. I think this is where the John passage that we heard this morning from John 15 comes into play. The community side, the support side of being a church. That it's not just, and this is something that I realize that you all probably already know, but it's not just responding to material needs, it's being a community and providing a support system to people. And that Jesus is the vine, and that we are the branches, and we bear fruit when we are connected to the vine. And I believe that the way in which we are tangibly connected to the vine and we tangibly become a branch on the vine is being part of a community of faith that strives to live out the teachings of Jesus. It's a vine that's well-rooted in love and equality and in justice and inclusion and in peace. And when we join the vine with other brothers and sisters, we bear fruit together in community. And when we invite others and include others in the vine, especially those who are in most in need, their lives and our lives are transformed, and we bear beautiful fruits that we would not be able to bear alone. And this is what we've witnessed in our work with Quito Mennonite Church and with Liliana and Gerardo's story and so many other families that we could tell you about. And we become a stronger and a more diverse vine, and I think that our world heals little by little. And I'll end simply by saying that I believe that one of the tasks of today's church is to help people rebuild and rediscover and remake their identities when their lives have been swallowed up by war and by violence and by injustice, but also by sickness and maybe by depression and maybe by divorce and maybe by loneliness or maybe by abandonment or whatever the case may be. This is the church's role to hold these people and include these people, and we included in these people. It's all of us. How are we called to join ourselves to the same vine as the marginalized and the excluded and with the forgotten and the ignored among us here in Harrisonburg and Rockingham County? These are the questions we're asking ourselves too in a new context and a new place. And may we have the strength and courage to do so, so that we may bear fruit together on the song of response. This is a song we sing at Quito Mennonite a lot, and we'll just sing it in Spanish because the English words are just there to understand what the Spanish is saying, but they don't really go along with the song. But please join in, and you can join in with if you have got one of those little maraca eggs, you can join in with one of those, or your claps or your harmonies, but please sing along with us. We can sing through it twice, and I think you'll catch on to it.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is Jesus, I Believe You're Near, written by Matt Carlson. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.